Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice, recording at our Hideaway studio in East County. My very special guest today is Patrick Malloy. He is the Democratic Party's endorsed candidate in the 50th Congressional District. A realtor running on a platform of reigniting the American dream, he is vying for the seat that is currently held by Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam.
Tell us about the 50th Congressional District, which used to be the 52nd out here for people that might be confused on the numbers with reapportionment. But what are the communities that are included now after redistricting in the 50th Congressional District in general?
Sure. If you want to picture it on a map, you're looking from Temecula, downtown Temecula, all the way south down the 15 to Jamul.
Okay. Big area.
Yep. And then if you go from San Marcos off the 78 all the way out to the Salton Sea. That's roughly the shape of the district on a map.
So we're talking about East County primarily because we're the East County Magazine show, but it actually includes some parts of North County, you know, the central core areas there, and then all the way up into a little piece of Riverside County.
Yeah, the district
as well.
Even gets snow up in Julian.
It does. That's right. We get the four seasons. Okay. So what made you decide to jump into politics and run for Congress?
Well, I was running up the 5 freeway and I heard about government shutdowns a little over a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And I wanted to see how my rep was voting for it, and I noticed that he voted for it multiple times.
Yes, he did.
Yep. And I thought to myself, I could do a much better job. In my line of work, if I decided not to work, I would get fired. I would probably lose my license. Right.
Okay. So, Patrick, what do you believe your strongest qualifications are for the job?
Well, I bring negotiating skills, the ability to find a common ground between two opposing sides, something that is seriously lacking in today's Congress. I bring the ability to amend or counteroffer and not pile on to existing legislation. I understand a fiduciary responsibility better than my opponent does, and my loyalty is to the people living in the 50th District, not to corporations.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Congressman Hunter has received a lot of corporate money, including energy companies, tobacco industry, the defense industry certainly are some of the major ones, I think, where he's taken a lot of corporate donations. It's tough, though, in light of the Citizens United. It takes, what, something like $1 million, $1.5 million these days to run for the average congressional seat. It's a lot of money changing hands, isn't it?
That is true. Most congressmen and women will earn up to $1.5 million in campaign contributions. It's how they spend it that is at issue in the 50th District.
Definitely. So what do you believe are the most important issues facing the people right here in this district, and how would you address those if you were elected?
Well, I think the people in our district have had enough war. I think the people in our district want to focus on home right now. And where we live, one of the most pressing problems is our fire season and water. I plan on solving these issues with jobs, federal jobs, and not new taxes.
Okay. So you mentioned fire season. When you say more jobs, are you talking about creating more firefighter jobs?
Certainly. Not just firefighter jobs, but abatement, and also by burying the power lines and keeping the fires from happening in the first place.
That would certainly make a lot of people out in this district happy. I think the Sunrise Power Link has been a very controversial issue through the years. Now, we'll be talking about some of those issues in more detail in a moment, but first, I'd like to give you the opportunity to comment about some recent controversies in the news involving your opponent, Duncan Hunter, specifically CREW, the Center for Responsibility and Ethics in Government, has called for an FEC, as well as a Congressional Ethics Committee investigation into Representative Hunter's campaign finances. Now, that's after records showed that his campaign spent thousands of dollars on what appeared to be personal expenditures, such as a Hunter family trip to Italy over Thanksgiving, purchases at an Italian jewelry store, department stores, videotapes, school uniforms, even tuition at his children's school, among others. Washingtonian Magazine also has previously named Congressman Hunter the biggest, quote, party animal in Congress. What do you have to say about those controversies, Patrick?
Well, Miriam, you know, first of all, this is a chance for my opponent to come clean, face the audit, and show us the words that he lives by, accountability. I doubt that he will willingly submit to an audit, though he's called for them several times from the Pentagon, from the Red Cross, or from the SEAL commander in Coronado. He has no trouble calling others to an audit, but when one comes knocking at his door, there's no answer. Crew, for those of your readers who may not be aware of, it's a watchdog organization. And in a day where less and less journalists work traditional jobs, we get more and more whistleblowers. They investigate Democrats and Republicans. They do the job like 60 Minutes used to do.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Congressman Hunter's campaign actually tried to deflect this criticism by characterizing Crew as a leftist or liberal-leaning organization. But we looked them up, and actually they've done a lot of investigations of Democrats, too. They annually put out a list of the most corrupt members of Congress, and they've got plenty in both parties on there. So,
yeah,
for example.
That's right.
Here in East County, a lot of middle class and poor families continue to struggle in the economy. That's certainly true nationwide and right here in East County. San Diego, in general, has a very high cost of living, a high cost of housing in particular, as I'm sure you know, being a realtor. And many parts of East County have extremely high poverty rates, especially El Cajon. In some rural towns, El Cajon is the highest poverty rate in San Diego County. How concerned are you about those issues, and what ideas specifically do you have for reducing poverty and perhaps bringing some good paying jobs to our region? You've mentioned a couple, but
sure,
let's hear some more.
You know, Miriam, I grew up in the middle class myself. I was a kid in the 70s and 80s. My mom and dad were school teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, middle class meant, you know, modest vacations, like car vacations and, you know, going on holiday nearby, having enough money socked away for a rainy day and a pension to look forward to. Now, it's staycations, living paycheck to paycheck, and a wild ride on a 401k, if you can squirrel away enough to save into it.
Yeah.
And reducing poverty is best handled by bringing in jobs. So like I had said before, you know, burying the power lines, using federal dollars to create local jobs with local hire, hiring people from the zip code where the job is going to take place, and adjacent zip codes with hiring preference, and also including veterans in an even wider perimeter for them to get first crack at the job, too.
Yeah, well, we certainly have a lot of veterans right here in San Diego County. We actually have more veterans here than any county in America, and the highest number of those are in East County. That's right here in your district.
Yeah. And to the veterans listening, thank you very much for all the work that you've done.
On your website, you talk about a hierarchy of needs, Patrick: food, clothing, shelter. Do you have some specific ideas for how to assure that all Americans have access to these most basic necessities? And I might include in that not only working people, but maybe people who, for whatever reason, can't, the retirees, for example, or the disabled.
Sure. For food, clothing, and shelter. First of all, for food, you know, GMOs are not good for you. Again, corporations are running roughshod all over us, and clear labeling that includes the food itself, if it is genetically modified or where the food comes from, this is important. This is something that you, as a consumer, should have the awareness of. Sometimes corporations forget that we can simply boycott them. I'll introduce legislation that will highlight good food manufacturing processes with a trademarked label, much like USDA Prime did.
Mm.
And show the distance the food came from. It's time for us to support local. It really is.
Very interesting. You know, San Diego County has more family farms, 10 acres or less, than any county in America. And again, of course, almost all of those are in your district. So I think that would make a lot of local farmers happy, as well as consumers wanting access to fresh foods.
Yeah, and let's call it like it is. We have an obesity problem in America, and I point the finger at the GMO food and the lack of exercise.
Now, you talked about the health aspects of foods, but what about the affordability aspect of those things? This might be a good time, you know, to talk about the situation facing a lot of retirees, people on Social Security, and so forth.
Sure.
Who want to eat healthy, but they may not be able to afford it, you know?
Yeah. Well, as far as eating healthy goes and the choices that are available to you, I believe that a big box store spends over $100,000 a month just in electricity alone and jacks up the prices to you, the consumer. So if you shop locally And if the food that you decide to purchase is provided for you locally, you stand a much chance of getting something cheaper and healthier.
What about housing prices? Being a realtor, I'm just curious if you have any ideas on that. There was just something that came out about how high the housing prices are in San Diego, not only to buy, but even to rent now. It's something like $1,600 a month is the average rental. Is there anything that Congress can do in that regard?
Well, where we live out in the 50th district, there is a lot of land.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the housing prices in San Diego County, you're also looking at the coast. What I see as a realtor is I see people coming out in droves into our district where I work as a realtor. For the most affordable homes in the district or in the county are in our district. They just don't have enough jobs to support them, which is why we're all stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
So more jobs in our district is the way to go.
Okay. San Diego, as we've mentioned, is home to many veterans and also military families. Your opponent, Congressman Hunter, is a veteran himself, and he serves on the House Armed Services Committee. Has he done enough to help our military members, their families, and our veterans? And do you have any specific ideas to do more for these folks?
To answer your question, no, he has not. He should know the true cost of war better than most, but uses rhetoric like rip their throats and things like this.
Nuclear bunker busters comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I'm looking for from my representative is less English and more math. He should know the cost of war and also the cost of taking care of the veterans after the war, which is not baked into the defense budget when they decide to go to war.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think that it would be more fiscally responsible to find out how much each of us pays in taxes and how much of that is going to be set aside for the next wave of wounded warriors to focus more on vets and less on getting in the way of the military. Homeless vets. Get on top of that right now. That is a disgrace. I would adopt the Housing First model, which is used in Salt Lake City, which basically cured the homeless veteran issue.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating. We'll have to learn more about that and get some information on that on the show. Just yesterday, we were interviewing advocates for the homeless on the rising homeless problem. And in San Diego County, we're now number 4 in the nation for homelessness. And a lot of those are veterans.
Well, we have a lot of military here, so it should make perfect sense that people would want to stay here after their time in the service.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And not to be prepared for that or to have a rep in Congress who's not addressing it here in the 50th, seems like an opportunity for change.
Yeah. Some in Congress have called for strengthening Social Security and increasing benefits, while many others have called for reducing benefits or even eliminating Social Security altogether, which is a program, incidentally, that was implemented by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. A lot of people don't realize that before Social Security came along, 50% of American seniors lived below the poverty line, and after it was implemented, that dropped to 10%. What are your views on Social Security?
Sure. Well, first of all, do not privatize Social Security. Can you imagine getting up in your years and trying to figure out how to make a stock trade on some newfangled smartphone or device with tons of fund managers vying for your commissions?
I just can't picture mom doing that.
I got to say no thanks to that. Over here, in the real world, we're counting on our Social Security being around for us.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how to ensure it. Take away the loophole where earners don't pay in once they've reached $118,500.
So you mean you think the Donald Trumps of this world should have to pay a little bit more into the system?
Yeah. If this is a nation where you have to pay your fair share of taxes, yes, even you rich people, if you're a one percenter and you pay into Social Security, you and us will have a dependable benefit. Not entitlement. It's a benefit. We earned it and we demand it.
The Republican Party asks all of its members to sign a no new taxes pledge, and in general they have opposed just about any new spending, unless maybe it's on the military, and they seek to shrink the size of government instead. What is your philosophy in general on taxation, Patrick?
Okay, well, Miriam, first of all, the Republican Party is generally not opposed to funding the military with weapons that they don't even want.
Yeah.
Namely the Osprey. Follow the money and you'll find a direct line between their FEC publicly disclosed donor list and amounts and the earmarks they put in bills to give business back to these corporations. Not business back to our district, but business off to these corporations who fund them out of the district.
The big defense contractors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's be clear here. On being generally opposed to new spending and seeking to shrink the size of government, it's a catchy way of saying, let corporations do the job. Maybe they will do it cheaper, better, faster, or maybe they will cut corners and give us another Mitsubishi-inspired San Onofre power plant.
There you go.
Or a Aliso Canyon gas leak.
Right.
That gas leak could have been avoided with a $100,000 valve. And that's why you want oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Oversight's not a bad thing when it comes to our safety.
Right. We hear a lot about, you know, too much government regulation. Maybe if you're a small business that's struggling, sometimes that's true. On the other hand, regulations can be a good thing if they're protecting us from corporations that would pollute the water, pollute the air, you know, jeopardize public health.
I do want to say, though, I mean, you asked me about, you know, taxes and my philosophy on taxation. My philosophy on taxes is that everyone must pay his or her fair share. If you're doing well here in the United States, great. Get ready to pay for the privilege of doing business with the world's greatest consumer base in an environment where we want you to do well too, mm-hmm. and hire Americans and have them do well alongside you.
Speaking of hiring Americans, our country has lost a lot of manufacturing and many other jobs that have been shipped overseas, often by companies that are offshoring their assets. Some of them aren't even paying any taxes at all. What can be done, Patrick, to restore good-paying jobs here in America, the kind that once was the backbone of the middle class across our country?
Sure. I think what you're talking about is corporate inversions and when a U.S. corporation merges with an overseas company. Yeah.
These multinationals, yeah.
Right. This way they get to have their corporate headquarters overseas. That, to me, sounds like a tax evasion. And for your listenership, you know, I would encourage them to boycott companies who do business like that. That's how you get to actually vote before the primary.
Good point.
Vote with your wallet.
True.
Yeah. I will write legislation to trademark or copyright a brand made in America, paid in America. And I want you to look for it when you're doing business and award good American companies that proudly display the logo. And we can tackle this together,
you
and the consumers.
Yeah. I like that. That's a very innovative idea, Patrick.
Thanks.
What are your views on the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact?
It's bad for us, in a nutshell. When you let lobbyists decide what kind of policies we're going to have, it doesn't benefit us, especially us here in the 50th District. It benefits them. We should have had our own unions negotiating these trade deals.
Yeah, it was negotiated in secret. Congress wasn't even allowed to read a lot of it, publish it so that media and everyone could give it the full scrutiny. It really was sort of pushed through behind closed doors.
Yeah, and while you're at it, NAFTA's not that good either, is it?
Well, that's an interesting thing. You know, Duncan Hunter and his father before him, the senior Duncan Hunter, were among the early ones to speak out against NAFTA. I think that's an area where sometimes the left and the right can agree on that what we've seen is a lot of jobs that have gone south or gone out of the country since NAFTA was enacted and CAFTA and some of these others.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think those should be reformed or revisited at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. And that should start with you, the consumer public, in the choices that you make with which products and services you decide to buy.
Okay. Let's talk about probably the most controversial social issue of this election. Your opponent, Congressman Hunter, once introduced a bill that would declare that life begins at conception, outlawing all abortions or nearly all abortions. Given that the Supreme Court is now just one vote away from overturning Roe versus Wade, that once again could make abortion illegal nationwide. I think that listeners should know all candidates' views on reproductive rights. And in addition to that, I would expand beyond that and say for our listeners out there who consider themselves to be pro-life, Patrick, do you think that more focus should be placed on not just, you know, what happens before a baby's born, but protecting babies after they are born?
Absolutely. You know, Miriam, it's complicated. Science tells us that over 57% of zygotes never attach to the uterine wall.
That's true.
And in fact, they're evacuated from the human body. To be clear,
mm-hmm.
I am pro-choice, and I stand for women's rights. And I stand for your freedom to practice any religion or none at all. There is a fair middle ground in between that,
mm-hmm.
okay? But I do not stand for your personal freedoms overshadowing the health of 50% of our population. This is a nation of many. What's right for you may not be right for someone else. Let's embrace our differences and respect the freedoms that we both have. Developing nations look to our country to see what the future is going to look like. Inside our country, people look to California to see what the progress will bring. If it wasn't recycling or California emissions cars or the dot-com boom, you saw it here first in California.
Yeah.
And we don't want to go back in time, back to the days before Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize right here in San Diego, before Roe versus Wade, you had a lot of women who would go to Mexico and get very dangerous abortions. You know, some of them wound up with infections or even losing their lives in those days. So it didn't really, at least in our area, it didn't really get rid of abortions, banning it. It simply made them more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
What about the aspect of protecting babies after they're born? I mean, do you think that enough is being done? We're seeing a staggering number, something like 20% of all children in America now are living in poverty, for example. Should more focus be on helping those children that are already here?
Sure. One of the ways you can help that is by, you know, California has brought its minimum wage up. We're going to go up to $15 an hour. And a federal minimum wage at $15 an hour is the right move right now.
Okay.
Lest we wind up losing some of our companies over to neighboring states so that they can save on their payroll. Not just increasing the federal minimum wage, but also adding in earned paid sick leave so that parents, especially new parents, will have the time to take care of their family and not have to make choices between going to work and making money or taking care of a sick child.
Yeah, I mean, in some states, the minimum wage is only $7 an hour. It's
21, actually.
Yeah.
21 states have it at $7.50.
Yeah, some of them have even passed laws to prohibit cities within those states from enacting a higher minimum wage. So while this won't really affect California, since it's going to be going to $15 an hour in a few years anyway and staging up to that, it certainly could help a lot of people who are struggling in some of those other states that just don't want to raise wages.
Right. So you should expect your federal reps to want to have a even playing field for everyone, mm-hmm. since we're already going to go up to $12.50 right away.
I would think that might stem some of the concern, too, about job losses out of California. If everybody was at the same minimum wage, you wouldn't be able to have Texas and Florida trying to lure away our California companies here by saying, hey, we can undercut and you can pay cheaper wages here.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's kind of like stemming the job loss overseas if you don't give them those incentives to be able to hire slave labor or low-wage labor, you know, in China.
Mayor, I'm always seeking to find a moderate approach or to level the playing field.